My dear brethren and sisters, it is good to be here. The ancient words of those who dwelt in the presence of Savior and great men of the past are our words today. Six months ago, circumstances combined so that I was not here, and I felt during that period of time a sense of loss of that spiritual power, that spiritual support and elevation that come to all Latter-day Saints who attend gatherings of the Latter-day Saints in the name of the Lord, whether of a general or stake or ward capacity. With you, I have been thrilled by the exercises of this day. Of course, we were thrilled to note that the Church of Christ is not standing still, but guarded by heavenly forces. It grows and increases, becomes mightier in the service of God's children here upon this earth. With you too, I enjoyed the spirit of the sermon of the man who has been called by God to preside over the church. It is well for me, it is well for you, it is well for all of us in the world abroad to listen to the chosen head of the church from time to time. Therein lies safety. Therein lies a path of safety, to safety. 6 months ago, I was not here because, with the approval of the First Presidency, I had accepted an invitation from the Canadian government to assist in solving some of their problems relating to reclamation of the dry lands of the Dominion. Canada is much like the United States. Two seaboards, one on the Atlantic side, the other on the Pacific, with ample rainfall, then the dry section between in interior, such as we have here, for the prairie provinces of Canada, offer an only scant and difficult living to those who attend or try to cultivate it. So the art of irrigation, the practice of irrigation, has gradually grown in the province of Alberta, where many of our people live. It has been found that the enlivening power of the water used in irrigation increases the crops manifold, and what is better, permits a close settlement, permits a building of a state. There's water aplenty in the land of our neighbors to the north, great streams filled with water to overflowing usually, roll into the oceans on both sides of the Dominion. And the problem is how to use that water on these dry lands of Alberta and Saskatchewan and other neighboring provinces, and build the Dominion of Canada into a greater country. The commission to which I was appointed was given the responsibility of passing on one of the huge projects proposed by the country, one that will redeem, bring into service nearly 500,000 acres of land at once, as far as the water and the soil are concerned, and involve an expenditure running from $100 to $200 million. But it has to be done. These dry lands are there. And the future possibilities of happy homes for thousands of people and families must not be overlooked in the process of statecraft, statesmanship. It has always been a curious thing to me, curious, not the right word, when I reflect back upon the history of our own people, how we, led by the hand of God, as a people, were brought over the deserts, over the mountains, to be settled in this country. We didn't know at that time, the world didn't know, that one half or more of all the land surface of the earth lies under a low rainfall and can be reclaimed only by the twin arts of dry farming and irrigation, and best of all by irrigation. For dry farming at its very best is only a minor practice to be followed by humanity. But our people came here for the first time in the civilized history of the world, or the history of the civilization of the world. Humanity were taught how a successful manner of living might be built under the irrigation ditch. The Lord, guiding us, took us to a protected home. But not only that, He made us teachers of the world. For coming to this land, to this estate, from which we have spread over the West and spreading over the world, is a birth of irrigation. And the countries who all, which all, nearly all, lie under low rainfall, have come here to find out what we did and how we did it and whether they can do it also. We have a worldwide reputation in reclaiming desert lands by the use of water. And we've served humanity greatly. We have preached everlasting truth to the gospel by thousands of missionaries. But we have also preached by our example here before the great nations of the world how the resources may be utilized more fully, more completely, how the needs of humanity might be more fully met. It has never seemed to me a mere chance that the Lord took us here. There seems to lie in that part of our history a distinct evidence of the divine guidance of this people. It may be of interest to us here today, most of you may know, that not only did we as a people begin to show how a modern civilized group of people might live under the irrigation ditch, but here also, beginning at our own state agricultural college at Logan, experiments and tests were made to place this art of irrigation on a scientific, orderly basis. This is not the place to discuss that, perhaps, but we do have that honor of being not only the generators of a modern day of irrigation, but of placing that ancient art on a modern scientific basis. Some very remarkable things have been discovered at time to time in this field. Tremendously interesting. Our farmers are gradually learning something about it. The farming people, you know, move slowly. They want to know before they do a thing. But little by little, that which we have garnered and gained throughout the years will be ours. And so a Latter-day Saint working as I had to work last fall in behalf of a great agricultural irrigation project, he stirred in his feelings. But he looks back upon what the Lord has asked his people to do, to toil, to struggle, to compel the desert to yield, but also to teach all the world that which the world is hungry to know. Well, perhaps that's all I should say about my work, why I was not here in attendance 6 months ago. But you know, there's a great symbolism that lies in irrigation. As a lifelong student of the subject, I've always been impressed by it. The dry desert soil, in most places, contains all elements of fertility. All it needs is the enlivening power of the stream of water that flows over that soil. Suddenly it begins to yield, it becomes powerful. And isn't it just so in our spiritual lives, I wonder? Man, according to our theology, a son of God, a daughter of God, not created in the old idea, but they being literally children of Almighty God, contain within them all elements under the law of eternal progression that lead them into a likeness of their Father in heaven. And when this being, this divine being, because in one sense we're all divine, is touched by the stream of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the power that flows from God, and suddenly the man blossoms into a new life. New possibilities arise. All new powers develop. In fact, as I have lived in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a member since my very early boyhood, I've come to understand that perhaps the greatest miracle in the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ is a transformation that comes to a man or a woman who in faith accepts the truth of the gospel and then lives it in his or her life. That transformation is marvelous. I've seen the mission field in which I first heard the gospel. I see it here at home. I see it every day. Every person has a measure of God's Spirit given to him. We're all in God's presence through that Holy Spirit. But as the new truths come, the greater truths come, as the understanding of them develop within us, we accept them, if you have courage enough to do it, then we're transformed. The weavers of the Midlands in England, the coal miners of Wales, the fishermen of Norway, the trudging farmers of Denmark, very common, ordinary people, they hear the gospel from the lips of some humble Mormon missionary, and they respond, they become changed. They're not the same men any longer. They've been fertilized, so to speak, by the Spirit of God that flows from eternal truth, just as in irrigation, the barren, dry soil is fertilized too, if I may use that word again, by the stream of water from the irrigation ditch. It's a great comparison. It's worthy of our thought, because we are the bearers of the irrigation message to all the world. I remember the man who baptized me into the church, a very common, ordinary man to begin with, a rope walker with a jug of beer 2-3 times a day, his glass of whiskey a little later, his cut of tobacco, mostly all day long, living a useless, purposeless life, except 3 meals a day, and the satisfaction of some of the carnal appetites. And the gospel hurt him, or he heard the gospel. The gospel overtook him. It was good. It was something he had been longing for. And the man grew in power and stature in the church. As I recall, he filled 5 or 6 missions for the church. Presided at least one time over one of the great missions of the church. Same man, same arms, same feet, same body, same mind, changed because of the Spirit that come with acceptance of eternal truth. Haven't we seen that in our own families and friends in little towns which we live? Haven't we felt it in ourselves? When we sought out the Spirit, sought out that help that we call comes from the Spirit of God, haven't we felt our own strength grow mightier in love for our fellow men, in love for our daily task, in love for all the good things of life? If you question yourself or question us here who have the responsibility of conducting this conference, they'll all bear witness to it. But remember, when irrigation began in Utah, which has now spread over the whole earth, it required toil. The water didn't flow down these canyon streams to the farms just by asking it to do so. But men dug and drilled and shoveled and made canals. You have a remarkable illustration of that in one of our enterprises in Utah. It's called the Hurricane Enterprise. The story of that has never been told quite fully, but it's stirring and thrilling. And to some degree, in every enterprise, in the building of the state, toil had to be met, faced, used. And so to get that spiritual stream that I've been talking about, it must be sought for, it must be fought for, it must be labored for. It will come, but we must ask for it and seek it, labor for it. Then comes that great change, the overwhelming change. Changes man to a more godlike phase of life and living. Well, you know the comparison as well as I do. I wasn't taking more of your time. It's good to be a Latter-day Saint. It's good to be here. Good to hear the words of inspiration come from the mouths and the lips of these inspired men. Glad to feel the responsive spirit of the thousands of people who are here and who listen over the radio. We do feel them. May we also live as to have a great measure of that enlivening, spiritual, fertilizing stream that comes from God because of our virtuous lives, our earnest actions, our seeking after truth. May we all be blessed according to our needs and remember our heritage in this church, of land and water and of spiritual power. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.